Can I start with a confession? Is that all right? There are times when I sit here on a Sunday morning and I might not sing the loudest like my brother tends to do. And I might not always lift my hands up and clap and dance around like some people are prone to do. But sometimes I just want to stand in his presence and look heavenwards and realise how thankful I am that I asked Jesus to come into my life and make something out of it. And my testimony will always be that I'm a sinner saved by his grace through the death of Jesus on the cross. That will always be my... You can put it on my tombstone if you want. Susan said I'm not having one. She just put me in a wheelie bin and I'm off. But I've come to realise, probably as I've turned 60, that I'm increasingly becoming more and more grateful for all that the Lord has done for me. And I know he hasn't finished yet. I know I'm not perfect. I'm a work in progress. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful. And there's a song, and it was a murderous one to play because you had about four chord changes very, very quickly. But the basic one of the basic lines was, I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful that you came to seek and save the lost. And I was one of those. I don't believe in reincarnation. The Bible doesn't promote it, and neither does Jesus or the scriptures. But I was reflecting the other day that if I did come back, I'd want to come back as somebody who still found Jesus. I can't imagine how people live around the world without Jesus. I can't imagine how people struggle through life and get through life. And if I could have my wish, if there were such a thing, I'm glad there isn't, but that would be my wish, to come back as somebody who would find Jesus and let Jesus change his life and do something decent with it again. So that's my confession this morning. Anyway, let's have a look at some of these slides. I keep looking at this every week, and I have another confession to make, that in one respect you could just put this up and leave it. If we go on to the next slide, because Jesus is, that's all we need to say, isn't it? Jesus is. Whatever the answer, whatever the question, Jesus is, isn't he? And I keep looking each week thinking, why do we need people standing up here? There's the truth. Jesus is. Whatever your need, whatever your situation today, Jesus is. He is there for you, and he always will be. And, you know, we look at, you know, he's the solution to every problem. He's the answer to everything. He's the beginning and the end. He's the creator of the world and everything in it. He's the one who makes sense of our lives, thank goodness. And I could add more, and we could go on. And we could go around and ask everybody, and we'd all come up with something that Jesus is. But Jesus is. But Matt, bless him, gave me a difficult one for this week. And he said, it's not difficult. I said, well, it is. It's an easy message, but it's a difficult message. If we go to slide number 4, there we are. If you want to turn to John chapter 18, there are some really nice I ams in John's gospel. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. They're all in there. They're tremendously positive. But there's a curious one that isn't in what they call the nine I ams in John's gospel, but there's this lovely one. And it's slightly curious, and I wanted just to run it by you. Just see, if I said to Matt this morning, who are you? And he'd say, the child of God, yeah. Or he might say, I'm Matt Bell. And I'd say, I could say that to anybody. I could say to Dave, who are you? And Dave would say, I'm Dave, exactly. Now, there's this bit in... Come back. Thank you. It's in trouble when you've got screensavers on your laptop. They keep coming in and getting in the way. John 18, verses 5 and 6. Yeah, John 18. Yeah, we'll come back to that one in a minute. It'll all make sense. It did when I wrote it. This is when they come to arrest Jesus. And he says to them, in verse end of verse 4, who is it you want? Verse 5... Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. I am he, Jesus said. And Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Again, he asked them, who is it you want? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. I told you that I am he. And it's always been curious that you think, why would they all shrink back and fall back when he just says, I am he? In the Greek, there's no he. He just simply says, I am. And that's why they shrank back, because all of a sudden... Jesus identifies with Father God. He's sudden, and that's why they shrank back. He's like, this guy's saying he's God. So no wonder they were shocked and they shrank back, because all of a sudden there's this revelation that comes to these people who've come to arrest him and eventually crucify him, of who they're actually coming to arrest and crucify. And that's why it's such a shock to their system. And that's one of the items that are not necessarily listed. But it always struck me as curious, because for years you've read it and you think, well, if you're just saying I'm he, you know, I'm Jesus, why are they all shrinking back from him? What was it? But it was the fact that in the Greek it just says, I am. Nothing more, nothing less. I am. And that's why when we get to Philip, it says to Jesus, shows the Father. And Philip says to him, John 14:9, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Isn't that wonderful? Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. You want to know what Father God looks like? Look at Jesus. He's a reflection of his Father. I tried for years to stop being like my father because I didn't particularly like him. And now I find that my brother, who's just turned 70, is starting to get more and more like him in various mannerisms and his appearance. Although my wife and I, she still thinks I look like my dad, but there you go. But it's a family likeness. You can't get away from it. And it's exactly the same with Jesus. You want to know what Father God looks like? Jesus is the family likeness. It's there. And you and I are family likeness. That doesn't mean we'll look like Jesus, but we have the characteristics of our Father in heaven through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and the new life he's given us. It's in us. We are family. Isn't that scary? You're my brothers and sisters. And I'm your brother. Aren't you blessed? It's there. It's one of these tremendous things. Press that again. So, I'm going to have to move this out of the way. I'm going to be shuffling. Now then, where do we get to? It's much easier on an iPad, but our iPad hasn't got the software to do it, so old school technology. So Matt presents me with this scripture. Now, if we go to the next slide, don't play the video clip yet. This is from one of my favourite films. It's called A Few Good Men. Tom Cruise, Demi Moore, and Jack Nicholson. Brilliant film. If you've not seen it, watch it. It's a courtroom drama. It's based in America. It's to do with the army. And the basic gist is these two Marines have been accused of murdering another one, but the root of the cause is that the commanding officer ordered it, and they're trying to get him to admit that he actually ordered what they call a code red. But I just wanted to play this particular little bit. Hopefully it works.
We'll wait for an answer.
If Lieutenant Kendrick gave an order that Santiago wasn't to be touched, then why did he have to be transferred? Colonel, Lieutenant Kendrick ordered the code red, didn't he? Because that's what you told Lieutenant Kendrick to do.
Object!
And when it went bad, you cut these guys loose!
Your Honor,
you had Marcus inside a bony transport!
Your Honor, you doctored the logbook!
Damn it, Captain!
You coerced the doctor!
Consider yourself in contempt!
Colonel Jessup, did you order the code red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled to
you. You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
It's great, isn't it?
The court will wait for an answer.
Oh, okay. Watch it again. All right? It's a great film. It really is, if you've not seen it. But it's just this great bit. You can't handle the truth. And the problem that Matt's presented with us is that some of us might not be able to handle the truth. Right? If you go to this morning's verse, which is John 14, verse 6, at the face of it, this is easy. But there is a challenge in there. John 14, verse 6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. That's what Matt sent me. But put it back into its context. There's a sting in the tail. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the challenge. That's why sometimes people find it difficult when they talk about, can you handle the truth? That's the difficulty. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what sets us apart as Christians. That's one of the amazing things about the salvation that we have. It's very uncompromising in a world that is full of compromise and wants to give everybody opportunity to do this and that. Jesus comes along and he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. And that's our challenge, to handle the truth, to present to those who aren't Christians yet, not only is Jesus the way, the truth and the life, but there's something more. He's the only way. I had a conversation which I part got in trouble with my wife. We had some Mormons come to our door And I'm always, if we're out and about and you see either Jehovah's Witness or Mormons on the street, I want to go and talk to them. And I say, can I? She goes, no. We're out shopping. Oh, can't, no. Anyway, these came to the door and I was just about, it's one of those deaf moments where you're just about to go in the shower and somebody knocks on the door. And you're like, do I answer it or don't I answer it? I want to go in the shower. So I thought, I'll go and see who it is. And it was these Mormons and we stood there chatting briefly and they said, well, could we come back? I said, yeah, come back. Come back Wednesday, it's fine. So I didn't realise I was going to be late leaving my brother, so I'm racing back from Nottingham to get here to meet up with them. And they'd already been and gone, but they promised to come back a little bit later, which they did. So Susan went out because she'd got to go somewhere, and I'm sitting there with these, there was initially two, but three of them came. I'm like, okay, 3-1, that's fair odds. And when I was driving back from Nottingham, I was saying to the Lord, I said, what can I say to them, Lord? What scriptures can I give them? What things can I give them to convince them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Jesus is the only way. And he simply said, give me your testimony. Give me your testimony. So I did. And for an hour, they had to sit and listen to me. Because I didn't really give them opportunity to say much about the Book of Mormon and what they believed. I just kept saying, well, I'll tell you about this. And, well, I'll tell you another example of how Jesus has worked in our lives. And I'll tell you about this. And they just sat there and listened for an hour to me jabber on. And then Susan came and sort of said, no, they're still here. Well, they're just about to go. You know, we've been sitting talking and what have you. And they said, you know, it's been amazing just to hear about how God's worked in your life. They said, well, we've never heard that before. They said, that's amazing. So anyway, they left. And Susan said to me, why did you invite them here? She said, you know you're not going to convince them. I said, I know. But they've got an itch to scratch that won't go away. I said, that testimony of what the Lord's done in me and our family, that's in there now. They've got to try and rationalise that to what they know and believe. And at some point, as I believe with all conversations you have with people, it's a link in a chain that will lead them to Jesus at the cross. Not to anything else, but they'll have to confront Jesus at the cross at some point and say, what that guy said was right. We need to do something about it, what we've got into. So there's something to encourage you. If you meet people and you don't know what to say, give them your testimony. You can't argue with somebody's testimony, can you? Because it's so unique to you as to how Jesus has worked in you. This isn't in the notes, by the way. This is as to how Jesus has worked in you that you can never argue with it. That's why when somebody stands up and gives testimony about what Jesus has done in their life, it's so powerful because it's so personal and it's so real. Amazing, isn't it? So, where have we got to? Are we somewhere there? Yeah. No one said da, 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 da. We should be round about there. Yeah, there we are. Are we gone to slide 11? Because I numbered all the slides up. So, the importance of the gospel is here. Jesus saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There are sometimes lots of things, and I want to encourage us to support our young people in school at this point, because so often they're presented with different aspects of what faith is about and what religion is about. And for good, you know, and one of the things that people say to me, say, you're religious, aren't you? I said, oh no, I have nothing to do with the religion. And they go, but you go to church and you believe in the Bible. I do, but I'm not religious. And they go, so you must be a Christian then. That's right. I make a clear distinction, because to me, as a former Anglican, as an Anglican refugee, is that religion has to do with rules and regulations and ceremonies. Being a Christian is somebody who is set free to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And that's why I make a clear distinction. And for our young people, they're presented with a whole range of stuff that counters what we know and believe here. And I want to say to us as a church, we need to be praying for our young people to support them, that they can weather the storms that they're going to face, the things that are going to challenge their faith and their beliefs in the societies and the, you know, and the way schools are. So that's a plea from my heart for them, because they need to know that, you know, they're going into schools and saying, well, yeah, I believe in creation. Well, I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Bible. And they need to know that we're behind them all the way and we'll stand with them. So that no matter what storms come against them in school, we're with them all the way. And they know that they've got that support and encouragement and help from us. So that's just a little play on the other way. But one of the great things, what are some of the benefits about the, Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So although it's a challenge that what we present to people is a hard truth, Jesus is the only way, but there are so many benefits to what he does for us. I'm going to read from verse 14. And it says, there we are. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced, I love that, we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Isn't that tremendous? What is our purpose in life? To live for Jesus. Sometimes it's a mystery day to day. You think, how is what I doing day to day living for Jesus? It is. In some amazing way, it is. Because we live for him every day. Why? Because he lives in us. I won't burst into song, but I could do. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ. Are you in Christ? Then you are a new creation. It says there, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone. Hallelujah. The new has come. It's great, isn't it? And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Isn't that tremendous? He doesn't count men's sins against them. Why? Because of the cross. Jesus comes to wash all that away, to set people free. It's tremendous, isn't it? Are we excited yet? Are we encouraged? Because what I want to really to get a hold of is to say, hold on to what you know and believe to be true, because it's right. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. That is a tremendous truth. It's a challenge, but it's a truth. Where do we got to? So what has he done? He's taken our old lives, he's crucified them so that we can live a new life. John 10, verse 10, I have come that they may have life, and life in all its fullness. Not, as somebody once said, in all its dullness. All right? That's what he has for you. Yours now, in Christ, is a life in all its fullness. You've moved on, you are different. Everybody here who's been born again will tell you, I am different than I was. Isn't that right, Richard? It's made a difference, hasn't it, to your life? Yeah, massive, you see? And that's somebody who's what, 2 years old now in the faith? About a year, yeah, a year and something, isn't it? Since you did the Alpha course. Yeah, yeah. So it makes a huge difference. And I could say it to each one of you. I can't ever imagine living as a non-Christian now. The thought terrifies me. Because how do I cope? How did I cope going through all my depression? What did I throw myself onto? I threw myself back onto Jesus. I've got nowhere else to go. Help me, Lord. How do I get out of this? What do I do? That's what I had to do. Jesus is the way. He leaves us no room for maneuver. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And it flies in the face often of a lot of what is around us. But it's the truth. It's a meeting with Jesus. That's the tremendous thing. It's, in one respect, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, is a radical phrase. Because it's so life-changing. Because you present it to people, oh, that's nice, Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. No one comes except through me. Jesus is the only access point to it. To wrap all this lot up, there were two random things that came to me while I was preparing all this. Anybody heard of a guy called Peter Frampton? Yes, Frampton Comes Alive? Yeah, one or two knowing looks. Album of 1976. He released four albums, and none of them made much success. And then Frampton Comes Alive came out, and it's amazing. It's brilliant. It's a classic rock album. But there's a great song on it called Show Me the Way. And the key lyric says, I want you to show me the way every day. And we could pray that every day, couldn't we? We could sit at home with our Bible and have our quiet times and our times with the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to show me the way every day. And the other one I liked was one of my favourite live albums. I've got it in the car at the moment. is Delirious, Alive and in the Can. And I like it because there's not just the titles of the tracks on it, but there's all these bits where they just like improvise and play over stuff. And it's called Taking It Wherever It Goes. And I can look back at my life and say, Jesus has taken my life and taken it wherever it's gone. And I might sometimes not like the places that it's been, but I know there's a reason and purpose in where he's taken me. So that could be another prayer, saying, Lord, I give you my life, take it wherever it goes. Because that was my prayer a long time ago, if you've heard me say it before. sitting in bed in Lincoln. Lord Jesus, take my life and do something better with it. That was my prayer. And I woke up the next day and nothing had happened. Absolutely nothing. I felt no different. No angels had popped in the night. No visitations, no writings, nothing. I was still the same. But some 3 months down the line, people noticed something had changed. And that's because Jesus had come in and hadn't realized it. And that's the power of our testimony. That's what we can bring to people. Jesus said, come and bring your life to me and let me transform and change. Not in scripture, but that's the essence of what he said. Come and bring your life to me. Let me take it and do something with it. Let me transform it into something better. What more can we say? Let's just go briefly to John chapter 4. This is a great passage where Jesus visits this woman at the well. A thing that shouldn't have happened. It wasn't culturally correct to do these things. But he sits and talks with her. And he goes simply and asks her for water. And then as she talks to him, he unpacks her life in front of her eyes. You know, and he talks about going and telling her husband. And he says, no, he said, the person you're living with now isn't your husband. You've had several husbands before. And you can imagine they're going, how does he know this? How does he know all these things about me? And she's so moved by what happens that she goes off to the village. And I'll find the bit in a minute. Yeah, John 4:28. And it says, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. When you come to Jesus, when you come and say, Lord, this is me, he already knows all about you. You don't have to tell him your life story. That's why he accepts you as you are. All the baggage, all the things that you've got, he says, simply, come to me. Come to me. I'll take you on. I'll take you, I'll take your life, and I'll do something with it. And in a year's time, you'll be different for that meeting. You'll be different for that encounter with Jesus. That's the crux of this. That's the basis of John 14:6. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I'll take your life and I'll make it better. I'll lead you into truth and I am the way to get there. Because I'm the way you get there. I'm the access point. I'm the door in. You don't need a ticket. You don't need to make a booking. I'm here all the time, anytime. I will be there for you. You come to me when you're ready. And there's no time. There's no time dictated for you to come to Jesus. It's just there for you to come. And my invitation to you this morning is to come. It's very simple. It's to come. And it might be that you want to know Jesus. You want to say, well, yes, you talk about this Jesus. I come here every week and people keep going on about who Jesus is and Jesus is this and Jesus is that. Then the offer this morning to you is to come. Come and meet Jesus. Come and say, you take my life, Lord, and do something with it. A prayer that simple. But he will honour it and he will take you and do something. And it might be that some of you are just saying, well, Lord, I just want to be refreshed this morning. We've already prayed huge amounts this morning. But there might be others who say, well, I just want to specifically ask the Lord and say, Lord, I just want to be refreshed this morning. I just want to know you love me again. I just want to be surrounded by your love and care this morning. That might be your prayer this morning. It might be something else. You might have come in with something. You say, I want people to pray for me this morning. Then come. Come. I could embarrass you and say, come out the front, but I'm not. I'm just going to say, if you want us to pray with you, put your hand up and we'll gather around you where you are to pray. All right? There's Victoria. That's one to pray for. Anybody else who'd like us to pray for? And for whatever reason, whatever it is, you come this morning and you say, Jesus, you come make a difference. You come and refresh me. You come and renew my life. You come and do something fresh with me. Lord, I'm at an impasse. I'm at a crossroads. I don't know where to go. Lord, what do I do? We'd love to pray for you this morning. Let's all pray for Victoria. Let's go pray for Victoria. Can't leave you with that, Matt.